Our resurrection day. Amen. If you have your Bibles, go with me to the book of John, chapter 19. John, chapter 19. I got a little lazy. I apologize. I didn't put it up on the screen. So you got to look in your Bible or your electronic Bible. But I'm going to be reading from the New Living Translation this morning. John, chapter 19, beginning at verse 38. Kind of follows a little bit what our Sunday school lesson was about. John chapter 19. We're going to look at John's rendition of this. Beginning at verse 38. Again, this is the New Living Translation. I just thought it'd be an interesting presentation today. Beginning at verse 38, it says, "Afterward, Joseph of Arimathea, who had been a secret disciple of Jesus, because he feared the Jewish leaders, asked Pilate for permission to take down Jesus' body. When Pilate gave permission, Joseph came and took the body away. With him came Nicodemus, the man who had come to Jesus at night. He brought about 75 pounds, notice that, 75 pounds of perfumed ointment made from myrrh and aloes. Following Jewish burial custom, they wrapped Jesus' body with the spices in long sheets of linen cloth. And the place of crucifixion was near a garden where there was a new tomb, never used before. And so, because it was the day of preparation for the Jewish Passover, and since the tomb was close at hand, they laid Jesus there." I want to stop right there. This right now, we'll pick up here in a little bit. But I want to preach with this thought. Just one simple word: resurrection. That's what we're here to celebrate, the resurrection of Jesus. Would you pray with me and for me this morning? Father, we come to you today to thank you and to praise you for resurrection. We celebrate, Lord God, your goodness. We celebrate, Lord, the resurrection that you participated in, that, Lord, that we celebrate. Because you are alive today, Lord God, we have hope and we have eternal life. God, I pray that your will would be done today, that you would anoint me. God, touch my not only my thoughts, but my body and my everything about me, God, that, Lord, I can preach and speak, Lord, under the unction and direction of the Holy Spirit. To you, God, I give myself and pray your will be done. In Jesus' holy name, amen. And amen. I think this stool may be too low. Not bad. I can't do it. I can't do it. I can't. I just feel like a little kid sitting there. I just can't. Huh? Yeah, I'll do that here in a minute. Yes, ma'am. Amen. Yeah, that works a little bit. I just pray the anointing kicks in this knee. I don't feel it. So, praise God. You know, God is so good. He is just so good to us. You know, when we talk about and we hear a lot the story of the death, the resurrection, the burial of Jesus, and there's a lot of things that we hear, and we hear often, but, you know, I want to just kind of look at this from a little different perspective, hopefully, today, because, you know, we first see this part today about the burial of Christ, he's receiving, you know, the Bible's telling us he's receiving a proper burial, according to Jewish customs, according, you know, and without the proper customs, and they had a process. Matter of fact, one of the things about Jewish burials is it has to happen the same day. We have, you know, when people in our custom, in our culture, die, well, you know, of course, we have embalming and all this and that. And, of course, they didn't have all that back then like we have it. And they wanted to make sure. And part of their custom was as soon as they were dead, declared dead, they went into the grave. They had that that ceremony. They put them in the ground. And to touch a dead body. This is another thing. It was you were considered unclean. You were considered unholy. You were considered not worthy. And one of the things that really kind of makes this a little more complicated is they were on the eve of Passover, one of their most holiest times ever. That how they would come in, as they're coming into Passover and they're celebrating the Passover, you know, one of the time that Christ came, or the death, you know, we go back to Egypt, when the death angel passed over, and, you know, that was a very holy time because that was setting up the moment where they would be set free from their bondage. And so it was a very highly celebrated moment in their history and in their culture. And so they didn't want to jeopardize anything about that, and they wanted to make sure that, you know, they were able to celebrate. But in the midst of all this, you know, Jesus is in the tomb, and he's in a new tomb. And we talked about that even during Sunday school. And I think one of the things that it was a new tomb, and one of the reasons I think it, you know, why it had to be this way, because as we see in the aftermath, how Jesus was resurrected, think about this. If there were multiple bodies in that tomb, as often was the case, how would they know it was Jesus? How would they know it was not somebody else? How would they know? But it was a new tomb, never been used before, where Jesus was laid. And so there was going to be no confusion from the presence of other bodies of which one was Jesus. They laid one body in there, that was Jesus, and they come back several days later, and no, there's no body in there, so Jesus that was in there was not in there anymore. But Matthew mentions in his gospel about the guards being placed in front of the tomb. Now, I don't know of I only know of one to where any graveside where guards are placed at a tomb. Think about that. None of our ancestors have guards at their tomb. The grave of the unknown soldier has guards, yes, but nowhere else. Of course, we know, you say, well, Pastor, I know because they were afraid that they were going to steal the body of Jesus. Well, yeah, that's true. But also we know the fact that they put them there. They put a seal there because they anticipated something was going to happen. They anticipated some, even in their disbelief. Listen, you know, even if they stole the body, you could claim he's alive, but when you don't see him, the claims really will fall apart. Hello? But in the midst of this, in the midst of all the crucifixion, in the midst of all the chaos and the death and all this preparation and all this going on, we come to the point, and the fact is that death seems so final. Any of us, and most all of us, have lost a loved one somewhere along the way. No doubt, sometime, you know, throughout the year, whether it's an anniversary or birthday or a holiday, we find ourselves reminiscing about the loved one that has passed on. But also we're reminded from time to time, especially if we know that they love the Lord and we know they're in heaven with the Lord, we know that this isn't a farewell, but this is I will see you later. But even in the midst of death, it does seem so final. It seems like such a great loss. And can you imagine what the disciples, the mindsets of the disciples, here they thought they had a good thing going. They were seeing multitudes come out. They were seeing by the thousands people coming and flocking to Jesus. They've seen Jesus do miracles. And they've seen Jesus do all these wonderful things and all these marvelous things and how great it was. And even just a week prior when he was coming into Jerusalem and people were worshiping him and praising him and singing Hosanna to him and how great it was and what a good thing they had going. But all that's over. And like for many of us, we have things in our lives we think, man, we had a good thing going. Then COVID hit. We had a good thing going. Then somebody left. We had a good thing going, but this happened or that happened. Life happens. And we find ourselves kind of going through some of the same thing. Some people will say, well, it was good while it lasted. You ever said that before? Well, we had a good thing while it lasted. Some people say, well, you just got to move on. Just deal with it and go on. The church had its heyday years ago, but just move on. Other people come up with some great statements. Some people will say, well, when things aren't going our way and when it seems like things are kind of falling apart or things seem kind of dead, well, I guess that was God's will. You ever heard people say that? Well, I guess that was just God's will. I guess that's just it. You know, it was good while it lasted. We had a great thing going, but, you know, so this happened, that happened, and, you know, that this one moved on, and that one passed away, and that one quit church. Well, I guess it's done and over. Can I remind us today that it ain't over until God says it's over? Nothing is final unless God says it's final. We got to remind ourselves that no matter what we're facing and no matter what we're going through, it ain't over until God says it's over. We find ourselves at the empty tomb on Sunday morning. In John chapter 20, verse 1, it says, early Sunday morning, while it was still dark, Mary Magdalene came to the tomb and found that the stone had been rolled away from the entrance. She ran and found Simon Peter and the other disciple, the one whom Jesus loved. She said they had taken the Lord's body out of the tomb, and we don't know where they have put him. Peter and the other disciple started out for the tomb. They were both running, but the other disciple outran Peter and reached the tomb first. He stopped and looked in and saw that the linen wrappings lie in there, but he didn't go in. Then Simon Peter arrived and went inside. He also noticed that the linen wrappings lie in there, while the cloth that had covered Jesus' head was folded up and lying apart from the other wrappings. Then the disciple who had reached the tomb first went in, and he saw and believed. For until then, they still had not understood the scriptures that said that Jesus must rise from the dead. Then verse 10 says, then they went home. When I read that, I kind of think, what? They see all these great things. They come to the tomb and they see Jesus' body not there. They see the linen covering that covered his head. And Brother Day talked about that last Sunday. They seen that laying apart from where his grave clothes were. They seen the body wasn't there. They had to figure out something ain't right. They didn't see the grave clothes, as I read earlier, where they wrapped him in long cloths, were not all apart, were not loosely just laying there. They had to know something was up. But they went home. Sounds like the church today. Something is stirring. Something is in our midst. Something's going on. Something ain't normal. Something ain't right. But the church goes home. We want a move of God. We want God to do miracles in our life. We want God to move mountains that are impassable for us. We pray, we fast, we seek God, we have prayer meetings, we have revival meetings. And then when all that is done, we go home. You ever figured out yet why it seems like we go so far and stop? It's because we have failed to remember some terms from our past generations. We have failed to learn the meaning of travailing, the meaning of perseverance, the meaning of pressing in and hanging on and not letting go. We have forgotten the fact that no good thing comes without a little effort on our part. God is here ready to give, but we've got to receive. Come on, somebody. We ain't going to just have everything dropped in our lap. There's some things you and I are going to have to work for. There's some things you and I are going to have to pray for. There's some things that you and I are going to have to fast for. There's some things that you and I got to do a little wrestling for. There's some things that we got to do a little work for. Come on, somebody. We got to realize if we really want the move of God that we're praying for, it's going to take some effort on your and my part. I know and understand, you know, we read this story and we see so much here. Because in the darkness of life and in the you know, it seems like sadness always lurks in the darkness. It seems like, you know, in the darkest times of our life, we really question sometimes where God is. Darkness makes it difficult for many of us to see. That kind of goes without saying. But we got to remind ourselves, Satan, and hear me well here, Satan loves to keep you and I in the dark. If we are kept in the dark, we cannot see hope. If we're kept in the dark, we can't see the end of this situation. If we are kept in the dark, then we won't see the way out of this. If we're kept in the dark, then we won't know where God is. I think back to this past year and a half that we've kind of endured with this COVID situation, and I really think this was an attempt of the enemy to keep the church in the dark. If he could separate the church, he will break them up. Matter of fact, statistics tell us that many churches closed for good because of COVID. They could not survive the hit that it took during COVID. Saints walked away from the faith because they could not come together. Many people committed suicide in and out of the church because they could not come together. Do you think for a moment that Satan was trying to keep the church in the dark? He was trying to take away all hope. He was trying to take away all types of possibilities away. Everything was going good. Everything was going well. But then all of a sudden, the church went home. You know, last year, God really began to speak to me when we had to shut down and go into the home. I believe, and one of these days I'll share that series. But I even put some out on Facebook. I really believe that God was trying to teach the church to bring worship back into the home. He was trying to teach the church that worship don't start here in the church. Worship begins in the home. And we had allowed worship to come out of the home and reside only in the church. And that's why we got so many kids messed up today, is because they hear worship in the home, but they don't hear worship in the house. And I thank God for some godly parents, to where I heard my mama sing in the home. I heard worship songs going on throughout the home. I heard songs unto God and songs that worship God in my home. And I thank God that I had worship in my home. I heard my daddy pray. I heard my mama sing. And thanks be to God that I had some godly parents, because it helped me form who I am today. Let's go back to our story for a minute. Mary's discovery was an empty tomb. Jesus was dead, but now he's gone. Peter's seen the remains of the cloth there, but he still had guilt and issues going on. He had questions. And just to remind you, in case you weren't here last Sunday night, I just want to touch on this real quick, because in John chapter 20, verse 7, it said, while the cloth that had covered Jesus' head was folded up, lying apart from other wrappings. Now think about that. you go to a nice restaurant. Many people don't know this, but you go to a nice restaurant, you eat your meal. I'm talking about one with, I'll be nice, one with cloth napkins. You know, those kind of restaurants. Not McDonald's, not Hardee's, or, you know, like anything like that. A very nice restaurant. One of the things that is customary as you eat the meal, you know, they take the napkin and they lay it on your lap. Have you ever been to one of those restaurants? If you don't, it'll blow you away when you have the, you know, the hostess or whoever's there, they'll take the napkin. I remember first time I took Sherry to one, and he took the napkin and laid it on her lap. I thought she was going to punch him, you know, because he thought he was trying to do something that, you know, was, you know, she wasn't used to punch somebody. I mean, nobody put the napkin on her, you know, maybe when she was little, mama put it on her lap, but, you know, they laid the napkin on your lap, and, you know, you enjoy the meal, and you know, and it's all about presentation. But when you leave, if you were satisfied, listen to this, if you were satisfied with the meal and pleased with the service, then you would take your napkin and you would fold it up and lay it on the table as you left. A lot of times, we would just take our napkin, you know, and walk out. But I'll be honest with you. I don't know, it's just kind of subconscious, I guess. But a lot of times I'll do that. Sometimes without thinking, but I of course I've preached on this, but I do that because it lets them know I've enjoyed the meal, the service is great. I'm coming back. Notice that. The napkin that was folded, or the shroud, the napkin, cloth, whatever you want to call it, was folded up. And that's significant. And it was a reminder that he he enjoyed his time here. He enjoyed the service. But he's coming back. He's coming back, church. No, he's not coming back to a tomb. He's coming back to a place he loves. He's coming back to a people he adores. He's coming back for a people he died and suffered for. He's coming back for a people that he gave all for, that he laid it all on the line for. And listen, while he did it back then 2,000 years ago, he still would do it today for us. Although, thank God, he don't have to. That once and for all, that perfect sacrifice still applies to you and I today, that he is there and he's still saying, look, that blood that I shed 2,000 years ago is still for you today. I still love you. I still would have gave my life. Even if I have to do it again, I still would, although I don't have to. But I love you that much that I'm willing to give it for you. That blood was for you. And it's just like it was for them back then. It's for you and I today. I like what Acts 1:9 says. And now when he had spoken these things while they watched, this is Jesus ascending. He watched and was taken up, and a cloud received him out of their sight. And while they looked steadfastly toward the heaven as he went up, behold, two men by them in white apparel, who also said, "Men of Galilee, why do you stand gazing up into heaven? This same Jesus who was taken up from you in heaven will also come in like manner as you saw him go into heaven." This same Jesus who was taken from you into heaven will so come in like manner as you saw him go in heaven. Get that. He will come again. He is coming again. But I want you to think about this part. Who are you looking for? We go back into our story and we see Mary was standing, verse 11, chapter 20, it says Mary was standing outside the tomb crying, and as she wept, she stooped down and looked in. She saw two white-robed angels, one sitting at the head and the other at the foot of the place where the body of Jesus had been lying. "Dear woman, why are you crying?" the angels asked her. "Because they have taken away my Lord," she replied, "and I don't know where they have put him." She turned to leave and saw someone standing there. It was Jesus. But she didn't recognize him. "Dear woman, why are you crying?" she asked. Jesus asked her, "Who are you looking for?" She thought he was the gardener. "Sir," she said, "if you have taken him away, please tell me where you have put him, and I will go and get him." Verse 16, Jesus says, or he said, "Mary." That's all he said. "Mary." And she turned to him and cried out, "Rabboni," which is Hebrew for teacher. Of course, he said, "Don't cling to me," Jesus said, "for I have not yet ascended to my Father, but go find my brothers and tell them, I'm ascending to my Father and your Father, to my God and your God." Mary Magdalene found the disciples and told them, "I have seen the Lord." And she gave them this message. Many times we find ourselves crying and we find ourselves in the midst of darkness, in the midst of our tragedies. We're looking for answers. We're looking for something. In the midst of this last year and a half, we find ourselves looking, why did this happen? Why are we going through this? Why? Why did this one have to die? Why did that one have to die? Why did this one have to go through these trials? Why does this one have to go? You know, we're always asking questions of why. Why does this one die? Why did that one go, you know, have these health issues? I know myself as a parent of three kids, and all three now, you know, have some type of chronic issue, and I find myself, why? Why? But God reminds me, all this is because He's God. Well, why would God allow such problems in this world? So He can remind us that in this world you will have trouble. But be of good cheer, Jesus said, for I have overcome the world. But also He reminds us what Romans says, that, and we know that all things work together for the good that them are called, them that love God. All things will work out. All things. God has all things in control. And no matter what you and I are facing, and no matter how big we think it is, no matter how big and how impossible we feel it is, God is still here to remind us. What are you looking for? A lot of times we look for quick answers. A lot of times we look for a quick fix. A lot of times we think, I'll go in just like, you know, I'll go in and get it fixed and good as new. It don't work that way, right? I told Sherry, I went in Tuesday, you know, everything went good, got home, you know, yeah, I was on pain meds, so I didn't feel no pain, you know, I was okay, and iced up, did everything they told me to do, started working more, or trying to get more mobile, and yesterday, I thought, you know, I'm going to get out, I'm going to put some shoes on, I'm going to get out and walk around, walk, you know, take a little drive. I was getting kind of cabin fever, yeah. Well, by the time I got home, I was ready to get home and get my leg up because my leg was reminding it's still healing. Things take time. And that's something God wants us to remind all of us. Things take time. Not on our timetable, but on His. Not when we think it should happen, but He has a timetable. He has a perfect time in everything. He has the right time, the right moment, the right situations for things to come about. And He's wanting us to remind us that all things will come about in His time. He's in control. We're not. But think this. While many of us are looking, Mary was looking to see the dead body of Jesus, not a living Savior. Think about that. She was looking for a dead Jesus. How many times are we looking for dead situations when God's already resurrected? How many times are we looking for something that we think is dead and over? We went to the grave of something to reminisce and to mourn the loss of something, but God's already brought it to life again. Remember, it ain't over until God says it's over. You see, with God, this is the beautiful part. This is what resurrection, yes, resurrection means to us that Jesus is alive and well today, that Jesus ascended at the right hand of the Father, and He's making intercession for you and I. Yes, that's what it reminds us, and that's what we are here to celebrate. But can I remind you something as well? That it reminds us that Jesus is the life giver. He's the one that can resurrect dead things. He is the one that can resurrect things that we think is done and over. He's the one that can bring life back to death. Resurrection means my sorrow may last for a little while, but joy comes in the morning. Resurrection means that the one who gave life can restore my joy. He can resurrect my joy. He can resurrect my life. He can turn my suffering into joy. He can take my sorrow and turn it around. Because Jesus is alive, I can dry my eyes. I can look at the hills where comes my strength. I can look into God and realize He is the life giver. He's the one that will bring life. He's the one that will restore all things. And even though I think it's dead, He's life. But I want you to think about this. God don't just bring things back to life to say they're alive. For we know all things work together. That tells me what God brings together has purpose. God brought us all together for purpose. You have purpose. Hello? You have purpose. Look at your neighbor and tell him, you got purpose. Part of that purpose comes in the later chapters. It comes later when we see Jesus tell them, go into all the world and preach and teach the gospel. I send you out to go proclaim to the world. Think about that. What are some things that Jesus told them right after He's seen them, after He resurrected? Go tell. Go and tell. Now think about this. Don't want you to miss this. Are you ready? I'm about done. We're going to go hunt eggs here in a minute. You get your chocolate fix here in a minute. Notice something. They went to the tomb. They seen the resurrection. Or they seen nobody there. They seen, knew something had happened. And they went home. They didn't get it. Even we can look on in recent in time right after this, when He told them, "Go tell," they didn't really tell very much. Like the church today, go tell somebody. Remember that? You know, it's kind of a Christmas song, but you know, go tell it on the mountain. How many do we tell? I mean, come on, let's. If someone you followed, someone you say you loved, someone you said you will pledge your life to was dead and now they're alive, would you not go tell somebody about that? If God did something in your life miraculously, if God has done anything, listen, sometimes we forget and we don't celebrate enough our salvation, that he brought this dead man back to life because of the blood of Jesus. We're alive and well today. I don't know about you, but not only is my spirit alive, but my flesh is alive. It should have been dead many times, but in years past. But praise be to God, my spirit is alive, my flesh is alive, and thanks be to God, I am here today because of Jesus' resurrection power. It's important that you and I tell somebody about it. Church, Easter, Resurrection Sunday, whatever you want to call it, isn't just for us to celebrate it in here. It's about us celebrating out there to go and tell that Jesus is alive and well. Everybody else, remember I said earlier, everybody else's God is dead. They are buried. They're in a tomb. You can go to their tomb and see their body there. But praise be to God, you go to the tomb of our Lord and Savior, he ain't there no more. He's alive and well. He's sitting on the throne, and he's in control of all. That is worthy to go tell somebody about Jesus and what he has done for us. Because he lives. He lives. Because he lives, I live also. Though this body may go into a ground someday, my spirit will live on. Paul said it best. To be absent from the body is to be present with the Lord. Are you ready for that moment? Are you ready to go tell somebody? I know many of us are looking for answers. I know many of us are looking sometimes even ourselves for answers, what God is trying to do in our life. Listen, I believe God is trying to get our attention. Resurrection means death. Dead things come to life. Resurrection means it ain't over until God says it's over. The enemy thought they had him. They thought it was over. You think it's over. You think there's no hope. Resurrection means hope. Hope. Say that with me. Hope. Oh. If there's hope, I can go another step. If there's hope, it means there's possibilities. I mean, think about when the doctor comes and tells you, we're sorry, there's no hope. What do you think? It's over. It's done. That's what the world's trying to tell you right now. There's no hope. There's no hope. But I'm here to tell you, with Christ, there is always hope. God can and will resurrect your hopeless situation and turn it around. God can speak life into your dead situations. God can resurrect things you think are over. And I'm here to tell you and remind you, the God that we serve has resurrection power. The worship team would come right now. And as you stand with me this morning, I just want to take a moment. Father, I ask you right now, Lord God, that in you there is hope, in you there is life, in you, God, there are possibilities. For all things, Lord, we know work together for the good to them that are called. Lord, all things work out. You have all things in your hand, and there is nothing that is hopeless. There's nothing impossible. Lord, you see every person here this morning, everything that they're facing, everything that they're going through. And God, you're here to remind them all hope is not lost. You're here to ask them, what are you looking for? Why did you come today? Because God is here to meet the need. I just want you to just, every head continue to be bowed, and every child of God, every saint of God praying. Because there's some here today, you feel like all hope is lost. Some of you feel like you're facing impossible situations. You don't know why you're here. You came because somebody invited you. You came because you thought that was a thing to do. But I'm here to tell you all hope is not lost. I'm here to tell you that Jesus Christ loves you. Yes, he died on the cross for you. Yes, the sin that he shed was for you. Yes, he loves you. He knew you would be here this morning. He knows everything about you. He knows everything you're facing. He knows the thoughts and the things that are in your heart today. But also he knows what you need. He knows what you're searching for. And Jesus is here to touch you and to bring hope into your hopeless situations. I would not forgive myself if I did not give this opportunity, because if those here, I don't know everybody that's here. I don't know your situation, your walk of life, and I don't know what you're facing right now. But I know a God that can meet every need. A God that can bring life into some dead situations. And if you're here today, and say, Pastor, I don't know Jesus. I don't have that relationship. Maybe you have just walked away. And you haven't been here in a while, been to church for a while, had that relationship intact in some time. My friend, it's time. It's time to get things right. One of the things that the world is teaching us is that we don't have long left on this earth. We don't have long in this thing. This thing is getting so crazy. Crazy is going to a new high, a new level in our world. And it just says to all of us that Jesus is coming soon. But if you're here today, I promise you this. I will not embarrass you. I'm not about that. But if you're here today and say, Pastor, I'm not right with God and I want to get things right, I won't call you out. I want to pray with you. But if you're here today and say, I want to get things right with God, just slip your hand up. No one's watching. Every head bowed, every eye closed. But I want to pray for you. I won't call you up unless you want to come up. But I want to pray for you. If you're here, just slip your hand up real quick. Say, Pastor, I want to get things right with God today. Anyone this morning, don't leave today. Listen, you know what you're facing. You know your lifestyle. God is here today for you. He wanted to bring a message of hope for you. He loves you. He died for you. He conquered death, hell, and the grave for you. Anyone at all, before we change the order of this service, Lord, just have your way this morning. How many is here today to say, Pastor, I need God to resurrect something in my life. I need God to resurrect a situation. I need God to bring to life a thing that has been dead. I need God to bring life into a situation in my life. Would you just slip your hand up this morning? Yes, 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 Lord. Oh, you see those hands, Lord. Lord, I need a resurrection in my situation. Yes. Lord, I need you to restore some things. I need life to come into some dead things today. Yes. Oh, hallelujah. Touch, Lord God.
There is blood that
have your way, Lord.
Life,
those this morning that would like to come down, I want to pray with you. You just come right now.
Death,
and just stand. We're
going
to pray. We're going to believe God to bring life right now.
When it flows, those that need